tape is one of the Victory Temple Pulpit series of messages preached in the sanctuary of Victory Temple in Beaumont, Texas. A catalog of additional tape titles plus other audio and video tapes are available by writing to Victory Temple, 2630 South 11th Street, Beaumont, Texas, 77701-7604, or calling area code 409-842-3954.
Chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 of this great gospel of Matthew. This is where he come against the Savior. You can believe he pulled out his best arsenal here. He used everything to destroy this last Adam. Father, thank you now that you'll again help us to preach. Help us to hear. Anoint the word of God as it goes forth. Let us be as an oracle of God here tonight. And the word of the Lord have free course in this building and be glorified here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil, taking him up into the holy city, sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it's written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It's written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Then, that word then indicates a point in time. You have that then. It'll be interesting to fix that point with some real definiteness tonight. Then, you know, you do not see any event in its proper altitude and relationship or color until you take in the circumstances that lead up to that event. You can never really get a hold of it. Therefore, when I read these words, then was Jesus led up, my mind wants to know when. When was he led up? Herod wanted to know when the star appeared. Amen. Why should it be strange that I want to know what time the devil showed up? Amen. We need to know. There's a question here. Then, it fixes a point in time. Now, to find the answer to this, you must go back to chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. Just turn back there. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Matthew 4 and 1, then was Jesus led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Such are the violent alterations of human experience. Baptized, tempted, approved of God, and turned over to the devil. Amen. All in less time than I can tell you. This is all right here recorded. Do not question your experience with God when you're passing through the heat. Don't listen to fools that tell you that there ain't going to be any troubles. Amen. I can tell you what was absolute with Christ is a potential with me. He destroyed the devil, but I still have to look at him every day. He overcome absolutely. He spoiled Satan and stripped him. But I still have to live and make that a reality in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're a son of God standing on the bank of the river, and you're the son of God when you're tempted and tried and tested by all the forces of hell. I'm a son of God standing on this platform tonight as the songs ring out and the joy of God lifted up. But I'm still a son of God when I'm alone, tormented and tested. When all of hell is coming against me, I'm still a son of God. I still belong to God. And the victory is as real now as it ever was. Tempted of the devil. Jesus was a son of God when the dove lit on him in the third chapter, and he's a son of God when the devil's tormenting him in the wilderness. It's all a part of it. The wilderness isn't 1,000 miles off the pathway. It's straight ahead. I said it's straight ahead. You and I need to know that tonight. He exhausted it all. Then was Jesus led up. You and I speak of temptation as if it was an accident of life. We fail to read carefully that the Bible said he was led up. Amen. He was led up. He didn't accidentally stumble on to the devil out there in that wilderness. The Holy Ghost took him out there where the devil was. He had to face that devil. These words indicate that the temptation is a part of the plan. It's a step in the climb to a better life. You can't go anywhere without this. There's no gain without a struggle. Every victory, every testimony comes out of a victory, a trial, a test. Heavenly ground is when I stand there, and if God don't come, it's over with my life. It is there that revelation comes. The Bible is a very practical thing. And all true revelations of God come in practical situations. God allowed Israel. Moses didn't accidentally lead the people in the trap of the Red Sea. He followed a cloud there. Amen. God ordained that he face that devil there. It was a will and purpose of God that he face him there, because somewhere along the line, I've got to prove that this is eternal life, that I do have a life that's overcome the devil. I can live for God. I can overcome in every circumstance. I am more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against me will prosper if I'll stand on what I know to be a fact. You and I need to know that. Life itself is a temptation. To be here is to be almost lost. You listen to me. To be here is to almost lost. The wilderness is not a spear 1,000 miles off the pathway. It's straight ahead. And it's a pitiful gospel that'll make you believe you can tiptoe around the serpent. You're going to meet him head on. God built no hedge around Eden. Those people had to demonstrate what it's all about. God isn't looking for robots. He's looking for men and women that stand up in the face, and a Joseph that can say, how can such a man as I so sin against God? It has to come to life. And all of it, it's a part of the plan. You got your eyes fixed on heaven, and across the sea you must travel is the wilderness. If you get there, it's the wilderness. You cannot escape it. You can listen to all these folks pulling out their billfolds on television and commanding $100 bills to come in it. But if there's any $100 bills in that billfold, it come out of a letter they wrote to somebody. Some were to give it to them. Amen. They didn't command it in there. That's a fool's gospel. I said, that's a fool's gospel. Amen. There's problems, there's trials. I've been through them. Somebody said to me, I imagine you had some very difficult times in 35 years as a preacher. I said, I did, but there were so many good ones I can't hardly remember the bad ones. Hallelujah. And I realized that every test of life was a part of the thing. It's all in the process of making me what God wants me to be. Without that, it cannot be. Amen. To be here is to be nearly lost, and to be here at all is to be in the devil's hand, which you and I are going to recognize. God is going to allow him to tempt you, to sift you. He said, Satan has desired you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Notice that. I prayed for you that your faith don't fail. He didn't say, I'm going to move you to another island where the devil can't find you. He never said anything about transporting him anywhere. He's going to face you head on, preacher. But I prayed for you that in the struggle of life, you stand true to God. It's there I prove whether what's happened to me is real or not real. It's in that. Don't speak of temptation in a hushed voice as if it was possible for you to sneak into heaven. I must be assailed, tried, tormented, vexed. And if I have not passed through experience of this kind, then the whole priesthood of Christ has been lost upon me. If I have not passed through such experiences, then the whole priesthood of Christ, if there's no experience of this kind to pass through, then the cross of Christ is an exaggeration of a remedial measure, and there's no need for God's Son to ever been offered. If such a thing isn't so, no need for him to ever suffer. Then was Jesus led up in the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God led him there to meet that devil. The Holy Ghost led him. And when the tempter came to him, then he had three things to say. And when he had said it, that's all he had. There's nothing else. Not another word, not another thing. He's had three things to say. Beyond those three things, Satan has never advanced a step. Not with your life, not with my life. He exhausted his weaponry on the Son of God, and beyond that point, there was nothing else. He's not a genius of unlimited resource. He's never original. It's always the same. And the whole thing is to get me to act independent of God. He don't have to curse me. Just let me step outside of God and I'm already cursed. It's only as I abide where the Holy Ghost has put me. It's only here. I said it's only here that I can remain as I abide in the place that he's put me, that is, in Christ. Now, he has three tricks or sticks to smite you with. His temptation can be weighed and can be measured. We can know when they begin and we can know how they're going to end. And they're going to end according to your reaction. Every problem of your life is brought on by your reaction, one way or another. You can say the devil made me do it, but he never made you do it till you made your choice. Until you made your choice, there's not anything the devil can do. He's been spoiled and stripped. But you have to, in life, demonstrate that a reality. I, myself, must declare the victory. God never built a fence around Eden. He allowed that devil in. I don't know how many times Pink said Adam never lasted a week. I thought he'd been there maybe several years. But Arthur Pink, in his studies, he didn't think he lasted a week before he gave in. He has three sticks to smite you with. I'll give you their names, size, and capability here tonight. Preacher, God never sent us to lose. God never sent a man anywhere. I know, listen, I understand there's nothing easy All of us have our own particular troubles we have to face. They face us. Some of it's one way, some of it's another. But I can tell you, you haven't faced what anybody else hasn't faced. There's nothing easy. I'm driving away from this church one this Sunday morning. I'd preach for an hour and a half, and it's like you're hunting rabbits. I'm shooting at everything that got up. I'm seeing things come in here that weren't allowed here. Now I preached that morning, and I left this church. They were still in the altar, weeping. Now I'm driving down that road home. My wife is already gone. And I said, oh God, I was weeping myself. I hate to have to say what I said this morning. It's so difficult. And he said to me, there's nothing easy but loving me. That's all. He that knoweth God loveth God. I said, I don't know what you're saying. He said, you find it a difficult time to love your enemies. It's hard to pray for those that despitefully use you. But that's still the gospel. I said, that's still the gospel. There's going to be difficulties. If you've been through some, you've been nowhere nobody else has been. Amen. You can major in those things, or you can rise up and say, I'm a stronger man because I passed that way. I'm a better man today. I faced that devil and overcome. He threw me down twice, but the last time I was standing when it was over. Amen. When Nehemiah said, let us arise and build, you take the structure of the sentence. What he was saying, let's keep on rising. If he knocks us down once, we'll get up twice. If he knocks us down 10 times, we'll get up 11 times. But we're going to win. We are here to win. We have within us what it takes to win. We can. We can. Brother Schultz came to me weeping today. And he said, I've been so blessed. But he said, when Brother Bradley spoke, my heart was stirred. He said, preachers everywhere said, if I could, I would. But if you will, you can. My God, take that home with you if you don't take anything else. If I can, I will. No, no. If I will, I can. Yes, sir. I can do all things through him that has strengthened me. I can do whatever he has called me to do. Hallelujah. Let us hear what the devil said. Listen. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. That's his first lick. This was an appeal to the immediate necessity. That's the first lick at you. He always comes at the immediate necessity. Jesus hadn't ate for 40 days, mister. You can go mad in 40 days. I did without food one time for 30 days. I'm going to tell you, all I had to do was smell a little bacon and I almost went out of my mind. Here's Christ hasn't ate for 40 days. And the devil said, make a little bread out of these rocks. The immediate necessity. He always comes. He strikes you right there. You're most vulnerable. In a sense, we draw all the temptations to ourselves because he always comes in the spot where you're the most vulnerable. He feels, he probes, and it always comes. We draw the temptations to ourselves, and God allows it so because he knows where there has to be a strengthening. He knows where it has to be. Now, the devil comes to us in a spirit of benevolence. Oh, what a devil he is, I'm telling you. I was preaching one time, and I said, he's a good devil. I didn't mean he's good. I just mean he's good as his job. I said he's good at his job. He comes in a spirit of benevolence. He shrinks down into a little devil as possible. Oh, yes, he just shrinks down. And he says to you, I want to help you now. Yes, sir, he'll come. What a slick devil he is. He's not always with horns. He don't have a tail. He'll come to you however you want him. Now, you're hungry. And if you could make bread, if I could, I would. Yes, sir. That's what he's saying. I'm just a devil myself. I can't do that. But if you can, that's if I could, that's what I'd do if I was you. I'd make some bread. But I'm, of course, I'm only the devil myself. Yeah. Oh, have you ever heard him? He's been around knocking on your door. You've heard him. But if you're the Son of God, you must have power to work miracles. Just turn these stones into bread. Now, whatever you want most, he's willing to supply at the cost, of course. He's always willing. Whatever you want, he'll give it to you. But there's a cost. I said there's a cost. Amen. What harm could there be in making bread when you're hungry? Why, what in the world could it? After a day without food, the appetite will drive you mad. Make bread for yourself. Make bread for yourself. You know the temptation. You know the voice that softens itself into a whisper as it comes to you. There can be no harm in this. Amen. I've heard it 1,000 times. You sitting over that income tax, you know they're going to waste it anyway. There'll be no harm in you just taking a little shortcut here and not have to pay that crowd all of that. It's always, he can shrink down and become a very benevolent devil to show you how to get out of your problem. But all he's doing is trying to get you to cross that line outside of God, and nobody has to curse you now. You're already cursed. I said, you're already cursed. You know, there's all kinds of people. Their theology will have one race cursed because of certain things. And a precious lady called me and asked me, said, do you think that I'm cursed? I said, lady, everybody outside of Jesus Christ is cursed. I don't care where you come from. But everybody in here is surely blessed. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody in here is surely blessed. And the whole effort of that devil is to get you and me on the outside. Now, you know the temptation. You know the voice. And there'll be no harm in certain words in themselves considered. But there may be great harm in accepting the suggestion of this devil. When he comes to preach the gospel, mister, you better perk up your ears. He can quote more scripture than the average preacher, I can tell you that. He'll come to preach the gospel to you, and he'll make it where it fits into your lifestyle and fit into what you really want in life. Why, look at this. He can open it up. It can be a revelation from the wrong side. And all of a sudden, you're an Avazini up there telling you God wants you to wear designer clothes, and that Jesus, the only reason he didn't have any place to lay his head is that all the hotels were full. You make it say what you want. And if you let him preach it, it'll come out that way. I said, if you let him preach it, it'll come out that way. The next thing the devil said to Christ was, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Listen, it is written. He's given his angels charge concerning thee. He comes now to develop your faith. Oh, I'm telling you, deal with somebody here now. He's going to bring you into a place. He's going to develop your faith now. Here he quotes him. He is written. You dash your foot against a stone. Now, you just come up here and you prove this. You prove God. You put God to the test. You just jump off this pinnacle. The book says that he's going to protect you. He comes, he appears with a sacred mission of endeavoring to show how to become more religious. I've seen them folks. I've met that preacher. Amen. He called himself, but he is a minister of Satan. I said he is a minister of Satan. You don't try God. You believe God. That's all. He tries you. He sent the word and tried Joseph. Joseph didn't try God. God tested him with the word of God. When a man comes to a point that he's trying to test, I've had people come to me and said, I tell you, preacher, I've got this thing wrong with me. I want you to pray Sunday, tonight, and said, if God don't work by Friday, I've got an appointment with a doctor. I said, you ought to go Monday and see that doctor. Amen. He may get at it better. You're not going to put God on no waiting list, and you're not going to put him on a timetable. You either believe him or you don't believe him, and you're not going to test God. You believe God, and when you believe God, you put your life on what he has to say. Bringing these temptation, he takes care to surround himself, him by circumstances which will aid that malign spirit. He just circumcised. He took Christ to the holy city, put him on the pinnacle of the temple, surrounded him with external religion in order to persuade him to give up this eternal place with God. Always, it was the temptation was to get him to act independent of God, to come out of God into himself, to center the thing into himself. That's where he got Adam. Adam chose to eat of the wrong tree, and he became his own God. The self became his God. His center become his own self become his center. It become his God. This was appeal to the Son of God. He took Christ up there, amen, to give him, to test him. This was his appeal to be presumptuous, to force meaning into God's word, which was never intended. How much of that goes on today? How much men stretch that out and force a meaning into that word that God never intended to be in that word? They'll take it and force into it a meaning, and poor simple sheep buy into it and never know what's going on till they find themselves destroyed by the falseness of where they stand. To force God into situations he never intended to occupy. Do you know the subtlety and the force of such suggestions? The power, that mind, what a tricky thing. I got to Maryland and the pastor picked me up at the airport, and he said, before I take you to the hotel, would you go by and pray for this sister? I'd been to his church before. She was a lady up in her 80s, and I knew her well, and said, she's just terrible. She got a letter from a preacher that said, dear Ruth, God told me to tell you to send him me $100. She don't have no $100. She don't get that much a month to live on. But yet here it is, her name on the top of a letter. And God told me. There's no pressure like that pressure. Oh, there's no pressure. God told me to tell you, amen. Man come to one of the ladies in church, said, God told me that you're to be my wife. She come to me all disturbed. I said, what do you feel like it? Did he tell you that that's going to be your husband? She said, no. I said, then I believe I'd just walk out on that till he talked to me. Amen. But this is always to read meaning into it that's not there. The third thing the enemy said, and this ends his program. All these things, namely the kingdom of the world, will I give you if you worship me. It was a temptation to bribery. I said, the temptation to bribery. If you worship me, I'll give you everything you can see. Now, no place, I mean, this book is truthful, and no place does the word say that that devil couldn't have given him what he's looking at. No place does it say, no place does it indicate that the devil's lying here. And I know he's a liar, but somehow or another he's telling the truth here, because Jesus never doubted it that he could give him. But what it is, it's a temptation to bribery. It was a temptation addressed to every instinct in the human heart to turn much into more. I said, to turn much into more. That's the reason the lottery is such, the addiction of gambling. I mean, the things that take place. That's the reason that 90% of Americans are playing with the stock market. They want to turn much into more. It is a lifestyle. It appeals to everything that's natural about the human. If you worship me, I'll give you everything that you're looking at. That's what he was after all the time. That's the reason he got kicked out of heaven. He wanted worship. That's the key to it all. His suggestion, was there ever such a devil? I said, was there ever such a devil? His suggestion, presume upon God. Test his strength. Bring him the opportunity of showing what he means by these promises. Amen. Bring it out. You know, there's folks handle rattlesnakes. Many of them died. They're showing what they're tempting to show what God meant by these things. They'll take up serpents and they shall not harm. They drink anything deadly. It'll not hurt them. It's dead. There's graveyards full of them kind of people everywhere. That rattlesnake bit them. Amen. And they're dead. But all of it is a temptation of trying to put God in a place where God's not going to get. I said, well, he's not going to get. This is what the devil is working to here. This is the whole thing. He took him to the holy city, amen, and put him on that temple. It was a short and easy method to riches, to the things of God. Say it's done, it's done. Revival by impartation. We are in a time when we want the quick and the easy. We want what God wants, but we don't want to spend any time in this altar. Don't talk to me about no fasting prayer time. Don't talk to me about prayer. I know it's a better way. Down the road there, they tell me, if I'll just come over there, they'll give me this. All I've got to do is get them to lay hands on me and I'll come back with it. It's a quick and the easy. Just say it's done and it's done. But once you've said it and it isn't done, then you're lost. Because you don't know what to do. The poor church is in such a struggle. She said it's done. It wasn't done. And now she faces a torment and she doesn't know what to do. She's lost the meaning of really praying through and touching God. It's all been reduced down to a form of religion. Amen. Listen, it was a blade that cut the knot and made the very short and simple. Just cut it all off, bring it down. Here you can have it. All you've got to do is bow your knee to me. Just bow your knee and everything in life will be yours. How quick that is. You send me $100 and you're going to get $10,000 back on this. Brother McGee hears a testimony of this and I question him over the size of it. But he is in a meeting and the evangelist got up and he said, now God just told me that everybody that will give $1,000 tonight is going to get $100,000 back in 30 days. But I'm telling you, it works so good that the evangelist and God extended that for another 10 minutes. Oh, just come a running. If you'll just worship me, I'll give you this whole thing. That's the same principle. I said, the same principle. You just give me your gold. That's what Aaron said. His miracle said, bring me your gold. I'll fix you up with a God. Amen. Yes, sir. Just bring it. He come down. When Moses confronted him, he said, well, I just threw it in the fire. And this is what come out. Isn't that a joke? I said, isn't that a joke? I just threw it in the fire. And this is what come out. But if you bring me your gold, I'll fix you up. I'll tell you the test of faith is when you can pray to God and not pray P-R-E-Y on people. Amen. Listen, let us look at the temptation in an effort to find the true character of this devil. We just look at it. Listen, beyond these things, these three things I've told you, that devil can't go. He can't move beyond that. It's the end of the line. After this, angels come. President of that obedience and says, turn this bread into stones. Amen. You can just know it's a coming. Turn this rocks into bread, and now turn this bread into rocks. Here the whole thing is leading to where he's going to become your master. Once you give yourself into that, then he from here on is going to orchestrate the show. Up to this point, I have a choice. I can tell you, get thee behind me, Satan. I can submit to God and resist him. But the moment I begin to make bread out of stones, you'll find me in the next scene, I'm going to be making stones out of bread. There is no other alternative. Amen. This is the desire for every one of us. Turn our virtues into vices, prayers into presumption, our religion into blasphemy. It's been done in my lifetime in the Pentecostal church. I've watched this thing for a long, long time, brother. When I came into this thing, I can remember preaching revivals up through the 50s in a little Pentecostal Assembly of God churches, Pentecostal Churches of God. Brother Turner, a great friend of mine, superintendent of Pentecostal Church of God. I came to Houston in 1954. I had one revival. I knew nobody. He befriended me. Brother Duke, that's here, gave me a revival when nobody else believed in me. Amen. He gave me a revival in Greenville, Texas, when nobody else believed in me. But I can remember those churches, they needed revival, but they weren't apostate. They were dry. Just a match could spring up a fire. It was dry, but there was no apostasy. They believed right. They just needed somebody to come along. But I've watched them turn that bread into rocks. I've watched the devil bring the thing down to where the gospel itself has become blasphemy. And the greatest work of the devil is to bring that church into a place where God has to be against it, then he promotes it. If he can maneuver your life where God has to be against you, then he promotes it. That's when you got mega churches for the most part. Yes, sir. They've twisted this gospel to where it's a blasphemy. Amen. It's not what it ought to be. No, listen. This is a desire. No worth of character hinders him. No, no. He'll turn a child into a demon. There's nothing sacred to that one. He just lures you out into the light that he may cut you off. He is, all of his schemes and all of his working is to move you out where he can touch you. He'll turn a child into a demon. Amen. He'll turn all the bread of heaven into stones and would diabolize the deity itself. Amen. There's nothing about him that isn't evil. He's the God of corruption, the God of the dunghill. There's nothing more corrupt than the one we're talking about, but how brilliant, how subtle, how he comes to us with these temptations. This is the thick end of the wedge. He believes in a process of transformation. Yes, sir. But his is a transformation that works both ways, namely turning stones into bread and bread into stones. This is the whole work of that enemy. Then with regard to the next temptation, he would risk a life on the pretense of trusting God. I talked today with my good friend, Brother Winkler, and he was telling about a church. He said, how do I know who to fellowship, Pastor? And he's talking, he said, about a church up there by him. He said, that thing, he said, I do believe, you can talk about Jim Jones, but I believe if we come to that church, and that pastor said, we're going to drink this poison to prove to the world that if we drink anything deadly, it ain't going to hurt us, and they drank the thing. That is the devil's scheme. Climb up, jump off. I've got a scripture here for you to stand on. He's give his angels charge of you. Just leap off of this thing. Prove to them what you are. Friend of mine, we were preaching a camp meeting together in North Carolina. And he was a funny man in a lot of ways, too funny. But he told one story that I had a hard time believing. But he swore it was a fact. He said, He got in this little church in West Virginia. He said, it's down in a holler, and people never come out of that holler. They never been out of it in their life. They live in those mines. They work. Never. But he said, it's in that Pentecostal church, and the pastor opened it up. And he said, anybody here got a testimony tonight? He said, a fellow stood up. He's all twisted up, and tell he's in great pain. And he said, Pastor, I was coming to church tonight in the back of that pickup. And said, this voice said to me, jump out. Said, I no sooner hit the ground, and I knew it wasn't God. I said, you just made that up. He said, no, sir. I know that devil. Turn. Listen, just get up there and jump off now. Amen. That voice, it comes. You get up there and jump off. Now, let me quote you the script. You stand on this now. He's give his angels charge. And you jump off down here off that temple. When you hit that ground, 40, 50, 60, however high it was below, and you jump up and run off, you're going to prove something to these people. Yes, sir, you're going to prove. You jump out of this pickup and then outrun it when you hit the ground. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just telling you, we're dealing with the devil. And if you understand that, you understand these charlatans are not going to trick you. I said, we understand this is the only way he can come. Amen. Listen, he this is the thick end of the wedge. He tempted Christ to put God's word to a test. Always. How much of that? Amen. That test, get out in that prayer. Now, if you'll do this, I'll do this. No. I'll do this no matter what you say. I've seen a sign on the back of a car said something about He God was real. He believed it or something. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He's still real. Everything is the same. But that devil is always trying to get us to put that word to some kind of a test, to try God. Yes, sir. He tempts God to save life that he may lose himself. Thus the devil continue blaming God for the inequalities of the human life. He'll put mean thoughts in your mind, then come right there and accuse you of them. He's a devil. I can tell you, not a human being, no matter how pure you are, that there isn't unclean thoughts that arrive in that mind. That devil put it there. That isn't no sin. The sin is to entertain it. But he'll put it in your mind, and here he'll come. There ain't nothing to you. You never would have had that in your mind. That devil put it there in the first place. Always get me in a place where I'm not sure of myself somehow or another to test this book. Yes, sir. I worship God and keep anything back from him. My worship, amen, is blasphemy. Christianity has been watered down to a sentiment. Amen. And I protest the delusion tonight. Yes, sir. This is the worst of temptations. Amen. As a devil offered the kingdom in return for worship, he knows whoever is worship owns that kingdom. He knows that. Whoever is worship owns that kingdom. So he says to Jesus, if you worship me, I'll give you this kingdom. Amen. Give a sentiment for property. Bow knee for a crown. Christianity been watered down to sentiment. Religion is a conviction, an obligation, a constraint of the soul, an allegiance of the faculties which make me a human being. Everything about me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to commit all I have, all I am unto him. We've got people sitting in the church that confess to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, yet he is not their Lord. They'll do what he wants as long as it fits into their program. They'll go to church if grandma don't come. They'll do what God wants them if it doesn't interfere. Those people have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not believed on him. Notice how the benevolence of the devil is here shown to be utter suffering. All these things will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Oh, he's a giver. Now, if you'll just bring me that $1,000, you're going to get $100,000. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm generous. I'm going to put out tonight what I haven't been paid. I don't doubt that that evangelist didn't hear. But there's a God of this world that said that. Yes, sir. I don't doubt that there wasn't some voice come through and said that to him. Been interesting, wouldn't it? Follow up and see how many got $100,000. Amen. All these things will I give you. To worship is to give. Man never worships God more than when he gives that money, gives his life, gives his time. We make giving a business. Mr. Simpson said that. We make other things worship. But we lose giving because we make it a business. It's not a business. It's a worship of the Almighty. To give is to worship. Never is a man more worshipful than when he brings that which he has and lays it at the feet of God. And the devil knows that. Whom I worship, I serve. If I worship God to keep anything back, my worship is blasphemy. If I say God is my Lord and I worship him and keep anything back, then the worship that I'm offering is blasphemy. If I love the cross, hold back anything from its outstretched arm, I mock God. I'm no saint. I don't need to talk about it. If I keep anything back, if there's any reservation, I said any reservation, then I'm mocking God. If he died and gave it all like the little African girl with 85 cents, sold herself to the platter, sold herself to the platter, that however long she lived, she had worked in that. And the preacher said, why? Because he gave everything for me. If we hold anything from the outstretched arms of that cross, we mock what that cross means. We only give where we love. We only give where we love. The generosity of the devil is a lie. I said the generosity of the devil is a lie. You can mark it down. He's not generous. He only gives to take. He doesn't give. He only lures to destroy. His whole effort, all of this appeal, is the work of Satan in that direction. Men live in lifestyles that embarrass kings off of widow's mites. Amen. Off of widow's mite. While the world perishes and goes to hell. Amen. It was a time when the test of a man's spirituality was rise up among us, theologically conservative, culturally so liberal, you don't know where it's at. We've lost the connection between believing and behavior. And anything goes as Christian behavior. Today, parents can't do anything with a kid. The church will let anything function in it. We had a group of folks come down on a bus to a youth camp. Robert was out there at that time when he come in when they started off that bus. He said, you need to get back on that bus, get some clothes on before you come off this place. Amen. You need to get some clothes on before you're here. We don't run around like that in this place. That ain't how this runs. Amen. Oh, very incensed. They're going to take the bus and go back. Well, go back. That's all right. Amen. Nobody forced you to come down here. But if you stay here, this is the way the thing's going to be. The three temptations of that devil are before us, and the character of the devil is suggested by these temptations is also before us. The very character of him. Now, I'm in coming to a little understanding of this, I've been able to recognize him in the most strange places. Amen. You know, when you look for the devil, we look for him down there in that bar. We look for him in that men's place out here, this all of these nude clubs, and we look for him down on Skid Row. But you know when he was found? He was found in the church. When they found him in the church. Well, I know used to him hanging around. Daddy owns that place. I mean, just let them go like they're going to go. You've got the thing, if it's all flesh anyway, you don't have to worry about that. The bottom ain't got any. There's no bottom to that. Just leave it alone. Found him right in the middle of the church. He has no other temptation or so to come against it. None. These three. He appeals to your dominant appetite every time. His reach for you is right there. He knows that covetous spirit. You know, the Bible said when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Now, when you mention the word lust today and where we've gone from the president all the way down, amen, with a mess that we've got up the highest offices of this country, when there's haven't got the morals of a mule most anywhere, amen, our whole thought comes into that kind of thinking. But I'm telling you, lust is after things. It can be after better things. It can be always never satisfied with what you've got. That lust, when it's finished, it brings sin. And that sin, when it's finished, leaves nothing left. It's death. I said it's death. Amen. This lust, the lust for things, is the cost. When T.G. Jake preaching on Lot's wife, amen, we were in a restaurant here the other day eating, Brother Darrell and I and his wife and my wife and the folks across the way over there were talking about Lot's wife. What's her name? Amen. Well, we didn't tell him. We knew. Amen. One of them said it was Sarah. No, you got the wrong wife. It wasn't Sarah. But I said, it's Lottie. How do you know? Because Jake gave her that name. Amen. He gave her the name of Lottie. He said, just Lottie. And he talked about her being a gypsy. Lived all of her life in a tent. Every time she got settled in the tent a little, Lot's pulling the stakes outside. And they're moving on. But they got to Sodom, got a house, got grandkids. And then angels come and say, we got to get out of here. And they drug her out and she looked back, turned to a pillar of salt. And Jake said, if it had been Lot, I'd have thought it was the immorality that turned him back. But it was his wife. It was a house. It was the grandkids. It was the furniture. It was a collection of things. All of that was more important than escaping. Most of us, I was in Alabama. Brother Moore driving me through, and we passed a little old house. Amen. About as big as that baptistry, sitting over there, leaning down, had a porch on it. I said, if I'd been born in Alabama, it's where I'd been. I've been born in that house. Poor folks called us poor. Now I'm rich. I mean, by any standard you have, I've more luxuries than ancient kings. Amen. I'm not rich according to what them folks down the street will say, but toward God, I'm a rich man. I just come back from a world that don't have nothing. They don't have enough money to buy soda water. I grew up that way. All of a sudden, there's things. All of a sudden, and you're very careful. Are those going to become the dominant thing of your life? Nothing so cursed. We was in Russia fighting against time. And preacher said to me, you worried about communism? No, I'm worried about prosperity. I'm worried that they're going to get something. And they're not going to want to hear what I've got to say. He appeals to that appetite, whatever it is, things. Nothing's never good enough. It's got to always be a little better. Got to always smell new. He asks you to make God your servant. That's its real key. Make God your servant. Always jump when you beckon. That's what you hear. God is obligated. Who's God obligated? You know, I've been mighty long years since I got stopped on the highway out here. I can tell you, the highway patrol of this state, I've always found to be gentlemen. They don't do what some of these folks do along the line. They've always been gentlemen. This was a lady stopped me on the way to the airport. I'm running late. Amen. She pulled me over and walked up to that window. Amen. Do you know how fast you were going? Yes, ma'am. Amen. You know, I didn't have no choice but say, yes, ma'am, I do know. You see, because she represents the state of Texas. It's bigger than me. Obligated to who? Who's she obligated to? Not me. Write the ticket or let me go. She let me go. Amen. But either way, I hear him preach, God's obligated to do this. Now you just command him. We were in a meeting, Brother Rusty will verify this. Man got up, talk about a black widow spider, bit him. Amen. And I'm sitting on the platform. He said it bit him, and it's a wonderful testimony. He got healed. But he told God, said, I paid my tithes and went to church, and I want this to happen. Now God honored that. He's a wonderful man. But I'm telling you, I just kind of flinched a bit when he said that. Amen. I don't tell God what to do. I ask him. Amen. I need a healing here. But I don't tell him when, how, and where. That's all up to him. Nice man. He asks you to make God your servant, to jump when he beckons. He says, trust him to that extent. Force him to keep his word. Don't let him back out of this on you. You force God. That's a whole pressure of the devil. Just force God to do this. If you listen, that's what you hear. Ask him, if things do not go like you expected, why did you in such a way? Just put it on him. Why are you treating me this way? I paid tithe. I went to church. I did this. Why are you doing me this way? That's what he suggested. Had a man call me in the night. His wife wasn't expected to live. He's screaming at me about God. He's saying to me, why'd God do me this way? Why? I said, because of what you're saying. What do you mean? I said, he knew if he didn't do what you want him to, when you want him, you'd be mad at him. He knew that you'd curse him. He knew you'd accuse him. That is forbidden. I said, that's forbidden. Tax him to his faith was his promise. Compel him to keep him. Finally says, give up everything for the world. Give up everything for the world. He has no other temptation to come against you. He may vary the form, but the program is written in this text. That's the only way, his only approach to you and me. And to be wise of that. I mean, to know that. And to know how he comes, when he comes, to recognize him, gives you the victory. Resist him and he'll flee from you. But if he can deceive you into thinking with his benevolence that he's a good devil, then he's going to destroy you. But if you are acquainted with the Father and know how the devil comes against you, then the victory is certain, because he said, I give you power over him, not him power over me. Amen. I give you power over all the power of the devil. Amen. He doesn't have power over me except when I don't recognize him when he comes. If I listen to a lot of this religious talk, amen, I've come to, knowing what I know the devil's preaching that gospel. Coming to this prayer meeting one morning at 5 o'clock, had the radio on, and there was a woman preacher on there, and she read a letter. These folks wrote a letter and says, I went through a very, very difficult time. Said everything seemed to go wrong for a long time. Even my health was tested, my finances, but said, oh, through that, I come to know God. Amen. God brought me into a place with him. And this woman on that radio said, the very idea of blaming God. Amen. Your trouble come because you was outside the will of God. And I want to set the record straight on this radio. Any of you people out there having any kind of a trouble, God has nothing to do with that. You're out of the will of God. You know, I went in that prayer meeting and I said, now there's one of three things about the apostle. He spent most of his life in jail. He was beaten by the Jews 5 times. He shipwrecked, fought beasts. Amen. His whole life, left for dead time and time again, shipwrecked, all the things that happened to him. I said, now if I was to believe what I've heard on that radio, if I were to believe that, I'd have to throw out this book. I said, just one of three things can be with that man. Number one, either that devil's bigger than God is, or Paul was outside the will of God, or else all of this happened in the context of ministry. that where he was there in the will of God. He's as much a son of God in Philippi with back lacerated in that vermin-ridden jail. They said they would beat him till blood run out. Sometime bones were exposed. Then they dipped him in brine to keep the maggots off of it. And there he sat, fever rising. Amen. Forsaken looked like by everything. But is as much a son of God that night as he was when he was filled with the Holy Ghost when Ananias laid his hands on him. Hallelujah. Let us stand.